Nabahani, who is himself synthesized communist revolutionary social justice ideology with the superficial symbolism of Islam.
So this is a closet takfir. If I were to say that you are a communist and you simply have superficial Islamic symbols around your belief, for example, your aqidah, you're a communist who just simply uses Islam to gain legitimacy. I'm calling you a kafir. So this is closet takfir. We're being accused of being Marxists who only have some sort of a fake shell of Islam around us. How can anybody say that essentially we're kuffar, really? We're a bunch of just munafiqeen who just want power, and we're actually Marxist communists. There's a great deal of closet takfir in this. This is just essentially a rambling of a takfiri.
Yes, this is takfir. Not even closet takfir, but open takfir, according to HT's Khariji principles. But according to our Rasul, no. Ahl Sunnah set the bar for takfir very high. Not impossibly high, just prohibitively high. Just as a mighty and weighty statement, La ilaha illallah, brings a person into the deen, so too does it take an equally mighty and weighty statement to take a person out of the deen, to expel someone from Islam. Describing a group of Muslims by characteristics they share with groupings of non-Muslims is not takfir. Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna said, "The corrupt of our common worshippers resembles the Christians, and the corrupt of our scholars resemble the Yahud." Was the Imam accusing the laity of the Ummah of believing in the Trinity, as Christians do? Or the Ulama of denying the messengership of Jesus and Muhammad, as do Jews? Of course not. And what of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam we cited in the podcast? The Qadriya are the magi of this Ummah. Was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Qadris follow Zarathustra and worship fire? Or was he labeling them as such due to a shared trait? Allah even describes the errant as dumb animals, as cattle, and as donkeys. And there are other ayat still where Allah describes the people as inanimate objects too. The parables are clear and self-evident. So no, there is no harm in drawing analogous links between the deviation and disobedience of Muslims with characteristics of various groupings of non-Muslims. Similarly, we never said that HT are card-carrying atheist Marxist communists, but that they resemble those atheists in creed and deed due to a shared ideological foundation, tenets and traits.
The Hizb al-Tahrir as a whole refutes communism and socialism in a way that I have not seen any other group, any other movement, any other scholar refute communism.
We'll agree with you there, because your Jamaat refutes communism while synthesizing communist precepts and praxis with Islam, including by recasting the innocent, pure and godly jihad of the Prophet in Mecca into the mold of a Soviet-era propaganda reel.
Communism is one of the dumbest ideas, okay, that a smart person has come up with.
Hence, Hizb ut-Tahrir are amongst the dumbest and most misguided of groups claiming to work for Islam, as they employ means antithetical to Islam that only ever lead to innocent, gullible, naive and impressionable youth getting themselves gunned down or consigned to the gulag. And since when does a misguided sect admit or even realize its misguidance? Facts and real-world findings are what count, not claims and contentions.
It's literally in the first book that this so-called Abdurrahman claims to have read. It's in the first book that is the very beginning of Hizb ut-Tahrir. The word social justice is literally mentioned as an example of what we are not allowed to use. And yet, this Abdurrahman talks about Sheikh Taqi calling for social justice according to communism and so on.
Look, if one uses the word social justice, but intends by it values and ethics which accord with Islam, then no problemo. Nabahani's argument that Muslims would be blameworthy for using the term due to its ideological association with communism is false. It's just language. What is blameworthy and what Muslims cannot do is to actually adopt communist notions of social justice. Otherwise, a rose by any other name is still a rose. And even if one advocates for an expression of social justice that is untainted by unbelief, it is still blameworthy to revolve one's dawah around such matters to the detriment of prioritizing tawhid.
Because we talk about the terminology of social justice, and we say we're not allowed to take that. However, if the meaning of the terminology is consistent with what the Muslims have in the hukm of Allah, the shara, then it is permissible to use that term.
You bloody!
So why all the drama then? Because you guys is too busy trying to be clever. You have to go and construct a politicized Islamist ideology to rival communism and make haram for yourselves what Allah did not make haram. When all you had to say is, whatever agrees with the book and the sunnah, we accept. And whatever doesn't, we reject. Simple as a dimple.
He talks about Sheikh Taqi being a communist, and he repeats this over and over and over again. He every time he has an opportunity to spew this sewage, he throws it out there. Communist, he's a communist, he's a communist. There's absolutely nothing socialist or communist in anything that he says. Now, some people might say, well, if you look at the structure of the Hizb and you talk about certain things, it sounds a lot like the issue of, it sounds a lot like he's taken from communism.
See, I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I going to do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's, you know, something to do. Come on, I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch, you know. I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I going to do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's, you know, something to do. Come on, I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on somebody's couch.
There's absolutely nothing socialist or communist in anything that he says. It sounds a lot like he's taken from communism. There's absolutely nothing socialist or communist in anything that he says. It sounds a lot like he's taken from communism.
HT can't but admit it. They resemble communists. And whoever resembles a people is of them.
And what kind of Islamist ideology is behind HT?
So with HT, the thing is that they have a very distinct ideology. It's closer to communism with an Islamized form.
And he said, and the Bahari said, if we examine the ideologies that exist in the world, we will find there's only three: capitalism, communism, and Islam. And that Islam was but a set of systems of governance.
It's written in the book of Hizb ut-Tahrir, and Sheikh Taqi wrote this. If we examine the ideologies that exist in the world, we will find only three: capitalism, communism, and Islam. Where's that part that he threw in there? So he wants to mislead the reader into thinking that Sheikh Taqi would transgress against Allah and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal by saying, and Islam is just a bunch of systems.
Nabahani claimed there is no Islam without Khilafah. His words. So what's the substantive difference between his uttering that misguidance and our characterizing the value he gives to Islam as nothing but a system of governance? None. If the script embarrasses you so much, flip it. Sajid Lipham did a reaction video to some of the comments that HT members and supporters left on his channel.
Allahu Mubarak, by the way.
Mazen may or may not agree with them, but it was worth showcasing them as they demonstrate how pitifully poor HT's audience understand Islam. As what? As nothing but a system of governance.
These are the pillars that hold up Islam, not the Khilafah. They hold up Islam. Where it says Khilafah, it should say Islam.
This is a dirty trick that we should be always watching for whenever people are trying to promote, you know, corrupt governments, really.
Sorry, mate. You can't really diss us for faithfully bringing focus to the myopic focus of your sect's founder. Nor are there any government promoters or protectors here.
No protectors here.
That's the real dirty trick. The smear you employ to misdirect viewers from the real discussion at hand.
Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a Hanif, a pure monotheist, a Muslim. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not of the polytheists. Allah did not say, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ شُيُوعِيًا وَلَا رَاسْمَالِيًا. Ibrahim was not a communist or a capitalist, but he was a Muslim.
So this is what I find almost comical. So he says that that Sheikh Taqi is blameworthy for juxtaposing by putting Islam next to capitalism and communism, But keeping in mind, the reason why this is done is because he's refuting capitalism and communism. And the reason why he's doing it that way is because the Ummah does not recognize that the real enemy of our time is capitalism and communism.
Wrong.
Back in the day, of course, when Sheikh Taqi established Hizb ut-Tahrir in 1953, communism was a dominant global force. It was a very dominant ideology.
Which further proves why it was inappropriate to juxtapose against Islam something so ephemeral as communism in the first place. Something so here today, gone tomorrow. Islam is the final and universal religion for all mankind, now till the end of time. Consequently, Allah in His perfect knowledge and wisdom chose to exalt His eternal deen against other adyan, other religious beliefs, not socio-economic ideologies. It is shirk, first and foremost, which Islam came to eradicate. It is that which we negate before affirming our belief in Allah as part of our kalima and our shahada. Hence the juxtaposing of Christianity and Judaism in the ayah against Ibrahim's hanifness and Muslimness, to emphasize the issue of tawheed and aqeedah, religion and religiosity, not ideology, party and politics. Had HT understood this, they would have understood that going all OCD into communism and capitalism will not cleanse the ummah of the many shirki practices that afflict it. The shrine religion and holy men veneration cults of the extreme Sufis and Barelwis, the worship of the dozen demigods by the 12 Ashia, and so on. As for hostile disbelievers, they're only able to overpower the ummah from without because of the strife from within. Just like blood-sucking parasites thrive in stagnant water. It is only because we are disunited in deen that Allah has caused us to be disunited in dunya. Commies and all-consuming capitalists are only symptoms of Allah's displeasure, the withholding of His grace and nasr in accordance with His, tabaraka wa ta'ala, sunnah. This is a Quranic paradigm, a spiritual paradigm which HT is bereft of and is all the poorer for it. Therefore fear not men, Allah says, but fear me. HT's Hizbiya blinds them from this realization. All they see is the fluff and flubber beamed to them through news media. But that is not how you diagnose the disease which afflicts the ummah. What ails the body of the ummah as a whole is what ails the individual believer's soul. If the heart is unhealthy and the creed is compromised, the entire body will be dysfunctional. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is sound, the whole body is sound, and if it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And hearken, it is the heart." Not convinced? Then you tell me, Ya Ayyuhal HT, what is the greatest surah in the Quran? It is Al-Fatiha, is it not? Exactly as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it when he said, "Hiya a'zamu wasuri fil Quran." It is the greatest surah in the Quran, Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, and about which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By him in whose hand is my soul, there has not been revealed a chapter like it in the Torah, nor in the Gospel, nor in the Psalms, nor in any criterion." And indeed it is the 7 oft-repeated verses and the great recitation. What is Fatiha concerned with, other than Allah's beautiful names and attributes, His Tawheed, and a prayer for guidance upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path of His prophets? Who is that in reference to? Communists? Who is that in reference to? Capitalists? Or does the verse refer to the Ahlul Kitab, the two creedal communities, the dual millahs who make a claim but have no true claim on the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? We recite these ayahs numerous times every single day. They have surely not lost their relevance to us today. What about Surah Al-Ikhlas, about which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "By him in whose hand is my soul," it is indeed equivalent of 1/3 of the Quran. What is the focus of this surah? Is it anything other than a beautiful affirmation of Tawheed and a most eloquently succinct abasement of shirk? Is it anything other than a refutation of those who claim that God begets children? And what is the single greatest ayah in the Quran? What do you reckon? A verse about socioeconomic justice? A verse about legislation and ahkam? O Abu al-Mundhir, the Prophet said to Ubay bin Ka'ab, do you know which verse in the Book of Allah with you is greatest? Ubay said, I recited,
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum.
Then the Prophet struck me on the chest and said, by Allah, rejoice in this knowledge, Abu al-Mundhir. What is the theme of Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the footstool, other than once again the Tawheed of Allah, a mention of some of His beautiful names and attributes, and a refutation of those who claim that Allah tired after His creating the heavens and the earth? Do you see a pattern here, Brother Mazin? The greatest single surah in the Quran, the surah equivalent to a third of the Quran, the single greatest ayah in the Quran, nothing to do with anything remotely connected to the communism or capitalism your party obsess over. Come to think of it, no mention either of any khilafah. All the speech of Allah, His Messenger, described as the greatest, is concerned exclusively with believing and worshipping Allah with Tawheed and a disavowal of shirk and its people, especially the people of the book who lay claim to Ibrahim. That's why it's inappropriate for you, brothers and sisters of Hizb ut-Tahrir, to give so much undue attention to other than that which is important to your Creator, Allah. Focus and give emphasis to issues of Iman and strengthen it by practicing Islam, by worshipping Allah with Tawheed and with Ihsan. On a side note, strange is it not how a group so obsessed with the Caliphate is so silent when it comes to the integral role that the followers of Judaism and Christianity will play in the prophesied restoration of the Khilafah. How the armies of Christendom will ally with the Muslims serving in the army of the Mahdi before doing battle with them at the true Armageddon. How that the other party of the people of the book who claim descent from Ibrahim will be found in the army of Masih Dajjal, the Antichrist, who will eventually be killed by the true Christ, Isa ibn Maryam, the Khalifa after the Khilafa of the Mahdi. But then, you don't believe in the Mahdi, do you, Hizb ut-Tahrir?
You blunder!
You don't believe in the fitna of Dajjal, nor the descent of Isa ibn Maryam. Little wonder then that you fill the vacuum vacated by spirituality-boosting beliefs with secular ideologies.
And as Allah says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينٌ. To you is your deen and to me is my deen. Not لَكُمْ نِذَامُكُمْ وَلِيَ نِذَامٌ. To you is your system and to us is our system.
Nizam means system. And the system by which you live your life is your deen. So he just refuted himself by bringing up the ayah that proves him wrong. Actually, for you is your way of life and for us is our way of life. For you is your communism and for us is Islam. For you is your secularism and for us is Islam. For you is your monarchies and for us is Islam. That's how Islam works, is that we show the falsehood and we then show the purity of the truth of Islam.
Oh, brother, the distinction that Allah compelled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make against the mushrikeen of Makkah was between shirk and tawheed. To you is your deen of worshipping false gods, and to us is our deen of worshipping the one and only true God. The Prophet was not taking issue with any systems of governance the mushrikeen had. He was taking issue with their calling him to idol worship. That's what the Sabab al-Nuzul, the reason for the revelation of Surah Al-Kafirun, teaches us. But HT do not emphasize the distinction of false worship from the worship of Allah. Mazin's appearing to accept my characterization of his sect's calling to Nidham, to systems, is as if he's suggesting the meaning of the ayah has been abrogated, that the dividing line between Islam and Kufr should no longer be between Tawheed and Shirk, between the Hanifiyyah of Ibrahim and the Shirkiyyah of Ahlul Kitab wal Mushrikeen, but between political ideologies and their systems of governance on one side and the Ahkam of the Khilafah and Islamic governance on the other. You see, this is how these people distort the message of Islam, how they distort the spirit and substance of the revelation till it contorts to their revolution. Skip Imanin and servitude to Allah and instead focus your Islam around systems and politics. That's how Mazin is telling us to understand the noble ayah.
لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ.
We elaborate in immense depth. It takes about a year to finish just this one book.
That's not something you really want to be admitting in public. How are you not embarrassed? You couldn't cry out, "Hey, I'm in a cult. Join us, and you can have your brainwashed too." Any louder than admitting to religiously studying an indoctrination manual of the Grand Leader for a full year. Time is precious, and the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Instead of spending a year drowning in such hisby drivel, would it not be better to spend your time studying the treasures of Surah Al-Fatiha, of Ayatul Kursi, and of Surah Al-Ikhlas, as you clearly have failed to appreciate the weightiness that the Prophet gave them?
There is no understanding of the dynamic between the Creator and the created.
Once again, with this immature use of the word no understanding, zero understanding. So what about the understanding that Allah is the legislator and we accept that legislation from Allah Azza wa Jal? That's an understanding of the dynamic, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that we have to establish all of the ahkam of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's an understanding of the dynamic.
What just happened? We've been calling out HT over there, oppressively obligating the average Johar to engross himself with matters that Allah has not burdened him with, governance and legislation. That which is the exclusive remit of the executive authorities in any given state. And all that at the expense of focusing on what Allah has obligated us all with, acquiring and strengthening our iman by worshipping Him upon Tawheed with righteous deeds, as it is iman and a'mal upon the sunnah which will earn us Allah's favour and His Jannah. So how does Mazen attempt to convince us otherwise? That is, Hizb is not neglectful of the dynamic between Allah and His penitent slaves? By doubling down on his misplaced Khariji-esque obsession with Hakimiyyah. This is something he does by habit, it seems. Habitually.
Habitually. He's a habitual line stepper.
As if Allah did not reveal to us anything about himself except his being the legislator.
What about the ayah when Allah Azza wa Jalla told Bani Israel, he gave them four commands. That they don't kill each other, that they don't expel each other, that they don't call enmity towards each other. And if one of them is taken hostage, they have to pay the ransom. And they only implemented one, the one where they had to pay the ransom. They didn't implement the other three. What did Allah say about them? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضُ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضُ. So do you believe in a part of the book and commit kufr in a part? And they didn't commit kufr. They didn't implement those three. It's a figure of speech to indicate the magnitude of the sin of ignoring a part of the book and implementing a part of the book. And Allah says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. You look at how this applies today. Allah says that if you take a part of the book, meaning you only focus on the things that secularism says you can do, and that the tyrant rulers who are only implementing a very tiny portion of Islam allow you to do, and you ignore all the ahkam of the ruling structure, the economic system, foreign policy, all these things, you ignore three quarters of Islam, then for us, we will have nothing but humiliation in this dunya. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. There will only be humiliation for you in this dunya. And on the day of judgment, you will be thrown to the worst of punishments. And Allah is not unaware of what you're doing.
The passage that Mazin cited was revealed in respect to the Jews in and around Medina. Allah is admonishing them for violating the codes of war that He had ordained for them. They would apply the laws of the Torah when it suited and transgress when it didn't. These executive Mosaic laws have been abrogated by the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the covenant Allah made with Bani Israel that has not been abrogated was mentioned in the previous ayah which Mazin chose not to cite. And that covenant applies to us all, Jews and Gentiles together, inside or outside of a khilafah, and regardless of our rank or societal status. In other words, Mazin has strengthened the argument against himself that his party has a misplaced focus, guilt trips Muslims with other than Allah's rights upon each and every one of his slaves, and fails to acknowledge the dynamic between our denying our Creator his rights and the withholding of his blessings as a consequence. I mean, Mazin does at last acknowledge that a people may suffer in this world as a result of their sins.
MashaAllah, brother.
But he limits this to matters related to those wielding executive authority. As if only on account of rulers do we suffer consequences of sins in this life. What about the rest of the Ummah and Islam?
أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ.
Then do you believe in a part of the scripture and reject the rest? Limiting our dawah around the ahkam of governance and the physical world is secularism. That was not the dawah of the prophets and messengers. It cannot therefore be our dawah either. We invite unto Allah unto religion and religiosity as a whole, that which engages the unseen metaphysical world, which is more expansive and everlasting, and, more to the point, the prerequisite for fixing the affairs of the material world, the foundation upon which the house of Islam gets built. HT, as we see, in practice reject this far more consequential and rudimentary aspect of human existence, man's need to nourish his soul with gratitude to his Creator through ubudiyya, worship and servitude.
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
And we have not created jinns and humans, Allah says, except that they should worship me. Thus for HT, it's all soulless and mechanical. God is a bystander. You want to inherit the earth? Don't fuss about buttressing your iman and perfecting your ibadah with ihsan. Mobilize behind our politics and you'll realize the caliphate through revolution. But clearly, that's not what the revelation teaches us. Just as salvation cannot be attained without Allah's mercy, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you will be saved on account of his deeds alone. The people asked, Wala anta, wala iyaka ya Rasulullah? Not even you, O Messenger of Allah? Wala ana, not even I, unless and until Allah bestows His mercy upon me. Saddidu, waqaribu, waghdu, waruhu. Therefore do good deeds properly, sincerely and moderately, and worship Allah in the forenoon and in the afternoon, and during a part of the night, and always adopt a middle, moderate, regular course that you may reach your target.
They make the Muslim think that the Khilafah is something actively to be worked for in a political capacity, the way they do, as opposed to the capacity that we have, inshallah, hopefully highlighted sufficiently, which is by following the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah and being steadfast.
He says, we have to do it according to our method, as if he's like the representative of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
The methodology for reform and revival we've been consistently calling to is Minhaj Nubuwa,
following the methodology of the Prophets,
striving to worship Allah and calling to His worship upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Those who are short-sighted and lacking spiritual insight mischaracterize this prophetic path as
basically do nothing other than just be secularized Muslims, live under kufr systems and just be quiet.
A'udhu Billah. Beyond a rejection of the prophetic model and a disparagement of religiosity, this speech betrays a dangerous deficiency in iman in Allah. We praise the heroism and steadfastness of our Uyghur sisters, how they encourage each other with sabr whilst they are beaten and violated by gangs of communist camp guards in the dystopian Orwellian nightmare that is Chinese Turkestan. When we hear of our Uyghur sisters, who, after having been ravaged by their jailers in Chinese Xinjiang, whisper to each other in the darkness of the night, La dhair, inna ila rabbina munqalibun. They say, no harm, surely to our Lord we will return. Inna allaha ma'as sabirin. Truly Allah is with the patient. Is this not reflective of the struggles and steadfastness of the prophets, alayhim as-salam? The turning to Allah of these brave believers in coping with their rape and torture is precisely what we would hope for them, what their ever-watchful Lord wants of them. But the Islam or communist of HT doesn't see patience as a proactive act of ibadah, no less one that is beautiful and mighty with Allah. And when he combines his secular, atheistic understanding of patience with his extreme, innovated obsession with Khilafah, he finds the iman affirm in response of our suffering sisters derisory and contemptuous.
If you get arrested, just make dua. La dair, he mentioned this. La dair. We'll be patient. That's all you got to do, and Allah will bring you the khilafah on His own. You don't have to do anything for it.
What else would you have the believers do in such circumstances? You want the imprisoned and persecuted of the ummah to remember Allah or to chant khilafah? The Muslim is supposed to love what Allah loves. So to then mock and deride sabr, belittle and dismiss it as Mazin does, A'udhu Billah, No God-fearing heart would dare even approach such blasphemy. None but one blinded by a pursuit of kursi and poisoned with the politics of the godless socialists, whilst overestimating those same atheists' power and reach against the power and reach of patience and piety. But if you remain patient and become pious, no harm will their cunning do to you. Surely Allah surrounds all that they do. What else is there to say, subhanAllah? Either you believe in what Allah is telling you here, or you do not. In summary, Hizb ut-Tahrir is the closest thing we have to a Muslim Marxist cult. They are the communists of the Qibla. Having drank the communist Kool-Aid, they are further consumed with an innovated, ahistorical and mythological conception of the caliphate, a caliphate which they seek to establish via a secular, Soviet-style revolution, instead of concerning themselves with the true practice of Islam, the religion. HT have convinced themselves they are Islamic because they call for a global theocracy, but most of us can see beyond the noisy rhetoric of an anti-religious cult which undermines the practice of Islam and mocks piety, and does so most loudly from its bases in the capitalist West and the former communist East. HT calls for Islam, but it doesn't call to Islam. They call for Khilafah and Hakimiyyah, the legal implementation of Islam on the state, but do not concern themselves with the prerequisite paralegal implementation of Islam on the self and society. Even though worshipping Allah with righteous deeds upon Tawheed are Allah's conditions for His granting the Khilafah, they instigate insurrections and plot coups in a bid to grab power and force a top-down imposition of their heretical theocracy. And they treacherously reinterpret the prophetic seerah to fit into this politicized, power-obsessed narrative. Simultaneously, they ignore rectification of themselves and the Muslims according to the prophetic model, which is a ground up tarbiyah, a nurturing of self and society via the cleansing of iman from corrupt concepts and practices, and strengthening of that iman with obedience and righteous actions. They cultivate party members around the critique of social injustice and secular economic ideologies rather than religious reform and spiritual strengthening. This causes them to further diminish and distort the call to Tawheed and to be negligent in matters of creed, righteousness and religious morality. They divest Allah's divine agency, His Sunnah, from the success and failure of the believers, the rise and fall of Islamic states. Ergo, they mistakenly interpret the disbelievers as ascendancy over the Ummah as the cause of the Muslims' political weakness, when in truth it is but a symptom and manifestation of Allah's displeasure upon His wayward worshippers. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.